Hello everyone, good evening. Today I have Mr. Ayush Sharma with me. Ayush is a fellow from Queen's University Belfast, and Ayush is working with Ornate Solars. Today I have him for a special talk, India's Energy at 2013. Welcome Ayush.
Yeah, thanks Namo from bringing me in. This side Ayush Sharma. I work as a structural design engineer for one of the solar companies based in Delhi. And we are into development of innovative structures in the sense that are not currently present in the market, and we are trying to bring a disruptive innovation, so which brings a new technologies to the market in the form of solar panels are mounted in rooftop as well as ground mounted structures.
Oh, that's great. Ayush, we will be taking a simple course to this discussion, and you know, the theme is research with NJ. So, you know, we will be talking much more the way, you know, we can do things in a research way, you know, we're improving our research sector and everything, how research can contribute in achieving our objectives.
True.
The first objective is energy security for India, because you know, India is a populated country, and you know, currently we are 1.4 billion people, which places us into second position after China. So, and you know, with this number, we realize that energy security is important. You know, people should get, everyone should get electricity. So, what are your thoughts on energy security of India and looking into prospective for 2030?
As for me, what energy security means is that irrespective of a person's demography, where he lives, or how much he earns, what the financial background, irrespective of that, each and every person in India should have access to the energy that he requires for his daily needs. If that is able to take place, then I believe that the energy is secure. If we are able to, at that micro level, if we are able to make sure that each and every person is able to complete his daily needs or requirements with the energy that he's getting, then I believe that fulfills the purpose of energy security, as for me.
Okay, that's great. But do you think that there should be a minimum per capita, you know, energy availability for everyone in the country?
If we are to basically tabulate that out, so we'll have to go by some kind of average, because the energy requirements for a person living in Delhi versus an energy requirements for a person living in J&K or Tamil Nadu will vary significantly. But to average that out, we can just definitely come up with a number with which we can tell that this is the energy requirement of a person that is needed per person.
I agree with this notion of, you know, J&K having a different per capita energy use, and Delhi having, because Delhi being a much more densely populated and, you know, a metropolitan capital territory. So I do agree with that point. Coming up into this, do you think that achieving energy security, that the minimum that we are talking about, so do you think that there would be some sort of risk involved into achieving this?
So I'll shift this discussion a bit into the how we are generating the energy. Conventionally, what we are doing is that most of the energy requirements are being solved using the boilers, and they are using conventional sources of energy in the form of coal or gas, and that is very localized in nature, in the sense that there would be limited number of turbines or boilers which are located in limited number of areas. So one is that, and the second part would come after is that the distribution for the same. So these become our concentration centers where the energy has been generated, and from there how we are transmitting the energy to various parts of the country, that becomes the second part. So in conventional energy sources, these places are very concentrated or not very easily accessible, in like if you see the map of J&K, the population is very spatially populated, in the sense that per kilometer, persons per living per kilo square kilometer, I figure, they are not much. but the energy requirement is high. With that, the problem comes in that the energy demand is there, but since the transmission losses are so high, not many people can get the access of energy to the grid. So renewable energy in the sense like solar energy and wind energy, that can basically bring a change in the sense that rather than concentrating these energy sources at a concentrated areas, we can just localize that energy. Like if I want to get an energy at a particular source in JNK, I can just put up solar panels over there and just start generating energy there and then only, rather than I am generating energy at some far away place and then transmitting it all the way to JNK with much more higher transmission losses. So by localizing it by using renewable resources, and we can basically increase or maximize our efficiency and at the same time reduce the increase the energy security as well.
I think you have that point of, you know, like micromanaging the energy use, the energy availability. So I mean, as you mentioned, you know, the solar panels and solar windshields and everything, I want to ask you one thing. I mean, like you know, since you work extensively in solar also, so the idea is like, how important is clean energy for India? Because, you know, the future holds, you know, like the other state governments have started to implement clean energy development sections. How far along India is, and, you know, what are the prospects for Indian clean energy in terms of 2030?
I think they are pretty good looking as per the numbers that we see. And one more thing is that we are around 60-70% of our energy needs as of now are met using conventional sources of energy. So there is a huge demand that can be taken care of using the renewable energy. So this is a pretty new industry in India, and just by tapping on it, we can definitely see some great changes happening. One of the changes that we see nowadays in metropolitan cities like Delhi is that there has been a monumental shift from the government side towards bringing electrified vehicles. What is happening is that as of now, most of the vehicles running in Delhi or other metropolitans, they are becoming one of the major causes of polluting the environment. And to minimize that, the government is trying to bring in electrified vehicles like buses, metros, and electric cars even. So that is one of the key changes that I am able to see within past 1 or 2 years even. And
okay, so how different that is from having CNG based vehicles to electrified vehicles? I like, how much are we looking at the PPM number, the reduction in PPM number? I mean, you can tell me about, you know, tell our listeners the percentage decrease, if there is any. And I just want to, you know, like ask you on this, a supplementary question to this one is, like, how effective has the research been? Because, you know, like we need to understand the research behind it. So is the research significant, or, I mean, are we lacking behind the Western world? In terms of our research towards clean energy technologies?
We had been behind with the Western world for last 4 or 5 years, but in the last 4 or 5 years, there has been a significant change. Like, there has been a push to basically bring get in the technology that is there. So in the last 5 years, in-house R&D has been taking place. So I feel if not in next 2-3 years, but in next 5-6 years, we would be able to see the change. And I mean to say that the work has been laid up from a ground up level, not by just copying and pasting what the West is doing or what China is doing, but seeing our own demography and what are our pros and what are our cons. Based on that, we are basically from the ground up level, we are trying to get into research, both from the industry and both from the government. So
is the research reliable? I mean, like, is the government able to you know, say that yes, this sort of research that is happening from ground level, is it reliable for them? And like, and by reliability, I mean, I want to ask, like, okay, can they use for implementation? Can they be used for implementation by the government and the private sector industries itself?
I'll try.
Or is
to,
just the research yeah. itself?
I'll try to give you this answer with this using an example. Conventionally, in electrified vehicles that are currently there in the market today, all of them are using lithium-ion batteries, and the major source of lithium is with China and South America. So if we look into that, the lithium-ion technology is not very beneficial for us as a society. So what changes we are trying to bring in now is we are trying to basically get into technologies that are very much localized with us, and we can just we can basically use our energy in the locally rather than relying on some other foreign entity. One of the example is that there are research and development going on in various other types of batteries, that is aluminium oxide batteries, manganese dioxide batteries, zinc oxide batteries, and even hydrogen cells. So all of this research in these areas is currently going on with many startups based in India. So I think that moving forward, some innovations would be taking place and we'll be getting back stronger.
Oh, that's great. Power. That's great. I mean, if India is looking into a more stronger position and they're planning and, you know, researching on a more stronger position, and the government and the industries are looking into implementing those research works to the commercial side. Coming back to the commercial side, I just want to, you know, like, take a different path towards. I just want to, you know, get onto a parallel road for a minute. And I just want to, are you actually happen to have a patent on solar something? Would you care to explain? Because that's a very great innovation I heard, and would you like to share that with the listeners?
So basically the thought that came in before making that product that you are talking about, the thought was that if I am basically mobile in nature, we are basically dependent upon our mobile phones and handheld devices like earphones throughout our journeys. So if the battery basically goes down or in on the go, there is no mechanism as to how I can recharge my battery. Now there are power banks as well that are there in the market, but I was thinking of going off the grid. Like, if on a personal level, if I can basically be self-reliant in nature, that I don't have to rely on grid altogether. So even those power banks, they have to connect to the grid once the battery depletes. So from that, with having some background in solar, I came up with the idea of developing a solar-based power bank, so with which I can basically charge the battery back that I have using the solar energy that is there in the significantly in India, as our demography is, and making a self-reliant model with which I can charge my mobile phone or any other handheld devices off the grid, and I won't have to rely on the grid altogether. Basically a type of micromanagement only in the form of energy.
But I remember very fondly. I mean, I want to understand this also, and I like the our listeners to understand this part, that you didn't use the easily available material in terms of that. You used some sort of that is very niche in its own area, right? Something that is not been tested frequently. I mean, in terms of India, I mean, not the Western part, I'm sure Western part must have tested it, because I mean, firstly China and then the Western world, I mean, they are quick. But then when it comes to India, it's a very niche product, right? Because that's why I think you have the patent and you hold the technology rights. So would you care to describe that material part of it, if it is possible for you?
Yeah, sure. So the thing was that since I was working on a small scale, like the energy requirements for it was like 20 to 50 watts only. The panels that were there in the market were very offbeat, in the sense that they were not, that they were not modified as per the applications that are currently there in the market today. They were created 5 or 6 years back, and they have been done so, and they are being sold off to the market as is, as it was 5 years back. So there has been, there had not been any innovation on that part. So what I did was that I used the cutting edge cells that are there in the market today, that are monocrystalline cells, and basically I used some encapsulation techniques because the volume and the weight is also one of the key factors when you make a product. So using these 3 or 4 parameters, I built that product, which was very much agile, very much light. And it's not that that product has been completely finalized. I'm still working on that, but the technology part is much more better than the products that are already there in the market.
Oh yes, I mean, I'm quite sure, I mean, a person of your caliber would definitely not stop working on such a great technology. And you know, it's, and we all know that, you know, Indian patent, it's one of the hardest thing to get. So I'm quite sure, you know, since they have given you a patent on this technology, so they must have seen something coming up, and something for, you know, something great coming up for the country. I mean, firstly, I mean, I like to congratulate you on that patent part. I mean you deserve a big round of applause for that. I mean, like, congratulations, Ayush, on that. And I mean, like, coming back to the next segment of this, you know, I mean, the sustainability, I mean, I want to start this from your product itself. Like, I do understand your product is sustainable, because, you know, I mean, firstly, I've seen that product, and, you know, like, it's an energy-based product, you know, having a niche sort of material being used into it. And you know, and then, you know, energy as we be taking up. And so how important is sustainability in energy, and especially for India, and looking at the prospect of 2030?
Right. So I'll give you one update. As per Google, I was searching that the petroleum as we use today won't be there by 2050. So that is like 25 years from now.
And oh, really?
If we are to, if as per the situation that is today, we are 100% dependent on petroleum products, because our transportation industry is solely reliant on that product only. So that is where the sustainability comes in. As of now, we see that petrol or fuel is there with us, but that is not very sustainable in nature. So that is where the renewable energy comes in, because solar energy as a form of energy is sustainable as per our lifetime, because solar energy is basically the energy of the sun, and the sun is pretty young in comparison to the life we are in. So that becomes a very sustainable form. How we are tapping is, that is the second part. Currently we are able to tap that using the solar panels or the wind energy. Wind energy is also part of solar energy that has been transferred, because our atmosphere gets hot and there is a difference of pressure. So I feel that all the energies that are there in the renewable energy, in the sense, even petroleum, non-renewable energy like fossil fuels, everything has been brought to us or being processed to us in the from sun only. Sun is basically the primary source. So from sun, there is solar that has been directly tapped, and then there is wind which has been indirectly tapped. Wind is basically a byproduct of the solar energy that has been radiating onto the atmosphere. And then there is water as well, hydropower plants. That is also a product of the solar energy, because the water which is vaporized, that is because of the sun only, no? Because the water evaporates using the heat of the sun, it forms into clouds, and basically all these life forms or the cycles that we see, the primary source is the sun only. So if we are able to devise some new in addition to these technologies that are there with us currently, we can tap into some different techniques that are there that we haven't searched of for and haven't thought of yet, but later on we can basically give a thought what are processes or theories are there with which we can basically tap on this infinite source of energy much more efficiently.
Do you think, I'm gonna ask you a very stupid question right now, and like, you know, it just came to my mind, does sun degrade? That because sun is also a source of energy, and you know, it's itself in it's a energy, sun is itself in a energy. So does the energy in sun degrade? I'm gonna ask you a very stupid question. I think I know the answer, but I like to have your thoughts on it. Does the energy in sun degrades?
So what happens is sun is that two hydrogen cells fuse and form helium, and that is a part of fusion. So fusion happens and a lot of energy releases. And so just after that, fission takes place, with which the helium cell, helium atom, breaks into two hydrogen cells. So this goes on continuously. But yes, there is some form of degradation, and we won't be able to see in our millions of life, human life cycles. But yes, the sun is degrading. So that is basically the time that we are talking about is in light years, rather than some thousand years. So in in a basic layman language, we won't be able to see the degradation of the sun very significantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, coming to the last segment of this, we talked about energy security, we talked about sustainability. I like you to, you know, tell us how energy, I mean, like different forms of energy, you know, the use of new renewable energies, solar energy, wind energy. I mean, how is it affecting climate? I mean, like, does it really affect climate? I mean, are we really into, should people accept that energy usage and does affect climate change?
There are evident mechanisms or there are evident resources to prove out that energy, basically energy in fact is one of the key parameters which is impacting the climate as of now. If we see, go back to 1900s when the industrialization started taking place throughout the globe, before that there was no need for that much energy because the population of the whole world was very low, and at the same time we were not very much advanced as we are today. And just in a span of 100 years, the population of Earth, the human population of Earth, has multiplied significantly, with which the energy demands have risen. So with those rising energy demands, the petroleum, the fossil fuels was the one resource that we came that we basically discovered at that point of time. And one of the disadvantage or drawbacks of fossil fuel was that once we basically try to get the energy as a byproduct, carbon emissions, nitrogen emissions and sulfur emissions, a lot of emissions are there that come into the atmosphere. So those emissions basically, they don't go out of the atmosphere that easily. So basically it becomes like a chain reaction. We started using fossil fuels, which was not there hundreds or thousand years back. Within 100 years, we basically exhausted the major part of the fossil fuels that were basically lying beneath the soil. And basically that is part of form of a carbon capture only. All that carbon that was captured for thousands of years, we just exhausted that out within a span of, say, 100 years. So that is the thing which has impacted the environment significantly. And now we need to make some changes very rapidly. Otherwise, there would be some causes which won't be able to reverse. And then there would be repercussions for that.
All right. I just want to, ask you some questions based on, you know, like the research part of all these three segments. You're like, what do you think of our research capabilities and research outputs so far, and, you know, how significant they are? I mean, like, in terms of achieving security, achieving sustainability, and, you know, like avoiding major climate change as of now? I mean, does India have that kind of quality scientists? And I mean, can they do it if they are not even quality? I mean, like, I'm not just saying that they are bad. I'm just trying to understand. Like, are they work so significant to our cause? Can we you know, like, safeguard ourselves from their research? I'm not comparing them with anyone, but I would like to know, their reliability. Can we rely on them, on their work?
I truly believe that we can rely on the works of the Indian scientists that are currently working towards the energy sustainability and working on the new forms of technology. It's just a matter of thought. If 50 years or 100 years back, if we were thinking that change comes from within a person only or within a society, like the Industrial Revolution that we talk about in 1900s that took place in the West, it was just a thought that they had to become the power sector of the world. So if we think that we can do it, then it's just a thought and we have to go by that attitude, yeah, that yes, we can do it, and then we'll see the changes that come on later on.
So, I mean, like, in other words, I mean, is India's Industrial Revolution, the 4.0 Industrial Revolution, is it good as compared to the Industrial Revolution that happened, the first Industrial Revolution that happened in the world around 1900s or probably the late 1800s? So, which one is better? I mean, I do see, definitely see that, you know, as a fellow scientist, I do see that, you know, the difference is major. And that previous Industrial Revolution basically, you know, was the cause of different changes that happened, and you know, the life as we know it's a threat right now. It's becoming a threat. But since we have tried to understand and we have realized that, and now we have a different sort of industrial, so which one in your opinion is a better one?
Definitely this one, I believe, because in the first Industrial Revolution we were just working upon the increasing the efficiency of the energy resources that are there. But now what we are doing is, in addition to increasing the energy resources, we are also trying to basically figure it out if these energy resources are sustainable or not. Because sustainability was not prevalent back 100 years back, which is now. And that parameter, we are very much working in parallel with it. So that would go a long way if we are able to increase the energy efficiency, at the same time look at the sustainable side of it, which we are currently doing right now, which was absent 100 years back. So that is the key factor which would make the changes and would basically help sustain human life as we speak 100 years or 200 years from now.
Okay, so one final question I have for you, what are the future prospects? I mean, like, what are India's prospect at 2030, energy's prospect at 2030? I mean, like, how are we looking at 2030? Are we on target, or are we, you know, just, you know, having some sort of deviation towards here and there? I mean, like, what sort of prospect we have for India in terms of energy?
As per the timeline, we are very much onto the target, and we have even met some energy goals in sustainability before 6 months or 8 months prior to the deadlines. So we are definitely head on as per our timeline, and by 2030 I believe that most of our energy requirements would be getting fulfilled using renewable sources of energy, which would be sustainable in nature as well.
Oh, that's great. Ayush, I would like to thank you for joining us today, and I think our listeners would love to hear our talk, and thank you for coming, and that's from us. Thank you, Ayush. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Naman. Pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. That's from Naman and Ayush right here. We wish you great weekend, and we'll come up with a next episode sometime soon. Thank you.